realizing, Father God, nothing so good we did is just your grace and your mercy. You kept shelter over our heads, food on the tables, and we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. This is the day you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Lord, we pray for our families. Bless them, Father God, individually and collectively. Have mercy upon our children. Have mercy upon our entire families, our neighborhoods. Realize we're living in perilous times. Where mean men and women count your way unholy, but we know you, God, and you, God, all by yourself. You don't need us, but we sure do need you. Now, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Master, you let us come down the interstates, freeways, and streets safe and sound to this appointed place. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, Master, for letting us arrive here safe and sound. Now, Lord, we pray for our pastor and his family. We pray, Father God, for each and every associate ministers and deacons, trustees, each and every member that enter these doors. Bless them and keep them in your care, Father. Some standing in need of one thing and some in need of another, but whatever it is, grant it in Jesus' name. Have mercy upon our sick. Have mercy upon the bereaving families. Bless them in Jesus' name. Keep us all in your care. Forgive us our sins and transgressions against thee, sins of omission and sins of commission. Have mercy upon us, Father God. Lead us and guide us and direct us the way you'd have us to go. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. This little light of mine, Lord, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, this little light of mine, well, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, well, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, and I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, well, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, everywhere I go, Lord, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, well, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We thank you for your voices, songs, and prayers at this time. We're gonna move right along and get into our Bible study this evening, Reverend David McCoy. Reverend McCoy.
To say good evening to everybody. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time. God is certainly good to all of us, and he always blesses us even when we don't deserve it. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to bring the Bible study this evening. Our pastor, he's out, he's traveling. He had another engagement this week, I believe, through tomorrow. And continue to pray for him and his family. The devil is busy. He's always busy with the leaders, especially the pastors of churches, amen? So we ask you to continue to pray for him, pray for his family as he out traveling and bringing the word of God in Mississippi. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you this evening, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word. We ask the Heavenly Father that you reduce me so that you can use me for your purpose. Let me say to Heavenly Father what you want me to say and clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and thank you. Amen. Psalms 25. Tonight I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Some people might be familiar with that. Psalms 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. We're going to be looking at Psalms 51 tonight. We're going to begin at verse 8. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 19. That's Psalms 51. And we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 19. And it reads, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your genuine spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. The God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Amen. Tonight we want to talk about the joy of our salvation. The joy of our salvation. When the love of the Lord Jesus first touched us and we repented and confessed his name, a deep joy we've never known before filled our hearts. What a joy it was to be forgiven and born again. God wants all his children to continue to rejoice in his wonderful salvation for their whole lives. This should be the normal experience of every believer. And we've experienced such a wonderful salvation, and now we have access to all the riches of Christ. Our joy should be overflowing when you think about all that Jesus done for us. But while we can never lose our eternal salvation, we can sometimes lose the joy of our salvation. When we look at Psalms 51, Psalm 51 is a prayer of repentance by David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he also set Uriah, her husband, up to be killed in the heat of battle. And the prophet Nathan went to David because of what he had done. He had committed adultery. He also had committed murder. And God was not pleased with him. David, a man who's known as a man after God's own heart, he had messed up with the Lord. And because of his sin, he had lost the joy of his salvation. And when you really look at us as churchgoers, as Christians, sometimes we get in a situation to where we lose our joy that we have in the Lord. It's like, it kind of like dims and it kind of goes out. But what God wants us to realize, looking at Psalms 51, is that we can lose the joy of our salvation not because of him not being a good God, or not because things are not going well for us. It's because of things that we do in our own life. David was an example, and he wanted us to realize that he had lost the joy of his salvation. He had told the Lord in this psalm, he says, that I had a song that I used to sing, a song, and the song went away. And sometimes it get like that in our life. Sometimes we allow the pressures of life, the things going on with us, the things going on in the church, and we want to start pointing the finger at other people and want to say they're the reason why we're losing the joy of our salvation. People have started slacking off worshiping the Lord and coming to church. And we know that there's going to be a great falling away from the church. But when you look at Christians, people who say that they love the Lord, they have given their life to Christ, we ought to have a joy of our salvation. It seems like we ought to be running. We ought to be willing. We ought to be ready. We ought to be able to serve the Lord. And we got to think about everything that the Lord has done for us. He's healed us. He's kept us. He's delivered us. He's been there for us. And so we got to understand that we ought to have the joy of the salvation of the Lord. And if you don't know of anything that the Lord has done for you, at least you should know that he saved you. He died on the cross for you so that you can have a right to the tree of life. And so when you look at this psalm right here, we got to understand that David was painting a picture, because we got to remember that we got to have joy in the salvation of the Lord. And so we as Christian people got to stop looking at other folks. We got to stop making the church responsible. We got to stop making the pastor responsible. We got to stop making our brothers and sisters in Christ responsible. Stop making our parents responsible. Stop making everybody responsible but ourselves. And so when you look at this psalm right here, David was painting a picture because he was sorrowful for the things that he had done. Once Nathan the prophet had came to him, he realized that he was slacking off from the joy of the salvation of the Lord. And so we as Christians have to realize that for ourselves. And so the psalmist wants to understand, the word of God wants to understand that we sometimes can lose the joy of our salvation because of things that we have done. We don't want to lose anybody because we want people to understand that when you sin, it has repercussions. It has an effect on your relationship with Christ. And so we got to realize that. So the number one thing that we see in here is that sin is the number one cause for us to lose the joy of our salvation. So we got to see here that although we are saved, we still sin. The word of God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People get upset and they get offended because people will say that sometimes you lose your joy or you fall out of a relationship with the Lord because you sin. But we got to realize that's the gospel truth. That's Bible. So we got to understand that we still sin. He's not saying that we're perfect. Nobody is a perfect person. Nobody walked this earth perfect, but Jesus. And so we all sin. And so what David was saying is, I messed up. I did something that was detestable in the sight of the Lord. I committed adultery. I had a man murdered. And I did these things. And because of that, I'm losing the joy that I have in him. And we go through the same thing as Christian people. When we start losing the joy that we have in the Lord, we need to start examining ourselves. We don't need to look at everybody else. See, we don't have a problem looking at other folks and telling everybody else what they're doing wrong and how they're living wrong, but we have a problem examining our own selves. And we as Christian people have to understand that sin will cause us to fall out of fellowship with God. So when we sin, we also fail the Lord, and we also are disobedient to him. The sins that we commit causes us to lose the joy that we have for him. So we got to understand that those sins that we commit causes us to lose the joy that we have for the Lord. So David was talking about this in this prayer that he had, because he had a prayer of repentance. Because after Nathan came to him and revealed to him what he had done, he know that he couldn't get away with it. He know that he had messed up. He had done some things. But what Nathan was doing, he was pointing out to him. And so people get offended, even with like the pastor. Nathan was a prophet, and what he was doing was pointing out to David what he had done. When we come to church and we get a word from the Lord, sometimes it step on our toes because of things that we have already done. And what God is doing is he's just pointing out to us that you have done these things. And because he's done that, he's showing us that you are falling out of fellowship with me because of the thing that you are doing. And so that's why God give the man of God, the pastor of the church, that's why he give him the spirit of discernment. Not only did he give him the spirit of discernment, but he works with him as in the sermon that he need to preach. And sometimes when you come to church, it seems like the sermon be all over you. And you be thinking, well, how did the pastor know what I done? I didn't do anything. Is he following me around? And the reason why he done that is because God has revealed that to him. He wanted him to preach that message so that we can see ourselves. And so when God put a mirror in front of you, and when you can see yourself, you will learn that you have fell out of fellowship with God. And we got to understand that, like I said, all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And we sin all the time. He said that even at our best, when we're doing everything that we think we can do for the Lord, he said it's as filthy rags to him. That's the comparison that God has for us living the righteous life that we have. He said that it's as filthy rags. And the reason why he said that is because we cannot compare to Jesus Christ. He is our example. That's who we need to follow. We need to follow the word of God and not try to follow the world. And when we do that, we'll see that we don't compare or we don't stack up to Jesus Christ. But that had to be pointed out to us so that we'll know. Don't get offended when it get pointed out because you have sin. What you got to understand is it's being pointed out because God wants you to repent and he wants you to change. And so that's why David had came up with the prayer of repentance because of what Nathan had told him. We got to understand that David knew he lost the joy of salvation when he sinned against the Lord. When you look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear." We got to understand our sins separate us from God because God is righteous. He cannot tolerate sin. This is why even a small transgression creates a barrier between us and God. Big or small, our sins cause us to lose the joy of our salvation. That's what God wants us to realize. David is trying to paint a picture that even our sins, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, it still causes us to be separated from God, and it also causes us to lose the joy that we have of our salvation. Everybody, if you think back on when you gave your life to Christ, you hit the ground running. You were so excited. You was telling everybody you got saved, you got baptized, you gave your life to Christ, you was following him, and then somehow or another, that just started dwindling down, started going away. That's the devil who wanted to go away. We can still have that same joy that we have of our salvation. What we have to do is be committed to follow the Lord and realize what God is doing for us in our lives. As a corrective for his sinful nature, David petitioned God for inward renewal of his heart, his attitude, preservation and service, and restoration of joy. And see, that's what we have to do. We got to petition God. We got to tell him. All God wants to do is to acknowledge that we have sinned and ask God to forgive us. That's all he wants us to do. That's exactly what David did. David petitioned God for that. And he said that he did an inward renewal. And see, we got to understand that God is not really into lip service. See, he don't care about us coming to church, sitting here looking pretty, looking at everybody, looking down our nose at everybody, saying things about folks. What he's looking for is our inward parts. He's looking for people that's sincere, who's going to worship and follow him. That's what God's looking for. And so that's what he was trying to tell David. See, David was doing his prayer, and in the midst of this prayer, he came to a point, and he says, "Oh, I see what you're looking for. You're looking for the inward person." So in other words, look, we can pray to God. We can ask for forgiveness. We can do what we got to do. But what God is looking for, he's looking for sincerity. And when you are sincere about worshiping him, when you are sincere about following him, then God can operate with you. God can work with you. It's all about attitude. It's our attitude in which how we view things in the church house of God, how we view things with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we have a rightful attitude and we want God to change us because of things that we're going through and the things that we have done, God will do that. And so that's why David was petitioning him. He said that he wanted him to preserve him in the service. He wanted to restore the joy that he had of the Lord. David was aware that he had become indifferent in his attitudes, so he needed a renovation. He was also aware that Saul was removed from the kingship for his sins. David was not oblivious to what happened to King Saul. He knew that King Saul was dethroned from kingship because of the sins that he had committed with the Lord. David was not, he knew about this, and what David did, he didn't want to go to the same thing that Saul had went through. So David asked that God not take away his spirit and dispose him just like he did with Saul. And so we have the same thing. We got to have the same mindset. You might not be the pastor of the church. You might not be the deacon. You might not sing in the choir. You could just be a regular member. But you still have to understand, you have to maintain a proper relationship with the Lord. And maintaining a proper relationship with the Lord all depends on you. It ain't on the pastor. It ain't on your mama. It ain't on nobody else. It's on you. When you give your life to Christ and you mature enough to know who Jesus is as your personal Lord and Savior, then your relationship depends solely on you. So when you have a walk with Christ, when you're going to live for him, he is looking for you to have that relationship with him. God is not pleased at some of the things that we do, but he's not going to leave us. And that's why it says in the Word of God that he's not going to leave us. We're going to continue to always have salvation, but we can lose our joy in the salvation that we have with the Lord. So our joy is very important to God. And the reason why our joy is very important to God is because of the fact that he wants us to not be to a point to where we feel like we're not serving him. You see, it's not all about a feeling, because the Holy Spirit always indwells in us. And it's not always about what's going on in our life. We got to understand that God is still there for us, because when you give your life to him, you're there for life. Can't nobody take you away from the Lord. There's nothing the devil can do in order to pluck you out of the hands of the Lord. And so we are always saved irregardless, but we can lose the joy that we have of our salvation. You see, when we have joy, people can see the joy that we have. The joy that you have will overflow to start touching other folks and your family, your friends, the people that's around you, because that's how the joy of the Lord works. So not only is sin, it was one of the things that David had pointed out, he also pointed out that grieving the spirit who indwells us causes us to lose the joy of our salvation. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, it tells us clearly that the Spirit of God dwells in you. When we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he not only redeemed us, but he also came to dwell in us as the Spirit. Now we're no longer alone. In other words, he came to dwell in us. So we're not alone any longer. We always have God in our life. We have another person living in us, and he has his own thoughts, his feelings, his preferences. Whenever we go alone with the Lord, who lives inside of us, he's happy. And when he is happy, we're happy. And so we got to understand that when we do stuff to please God, he is happy with us as individuals. And because he is happy with us, then we're happy individuals. That's why you don't have to worry about nobody waking you up to come to church on Sunday morning. You don't have to worry about nobody prompting you to come to Sunday school on Sunday morning. You don't have to worry about nobody encouraging you to come to Bible study on Wednesday. Because when you are doing things that pleasing the Lord, you're happy, then you have that joy in you because you had a joy of your salvation. And not only that, you can't wait to get here. We got to understand that God has done too much for us. He has saved us out of our sins. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we got to understand that he has done a lot for us. God has done more for some people more than others, but he has done the things that we couldn't do for ourselves. Nobody in here was fit. Nobody in here had the ability. Nobody in here could die on the cross for nobody else's sins. Some people in here, they were down the cross for their children if they could, but they can't because it would not suffice for the Lord. The only one could do it was Jesus. And when we gave our life to him, we got to understand that we have to live for him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption." What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. To grieve the Holy Spirit is to displease him. The Holy Spirit abides in us forever. He never leaves us. He is grieved when we do not walk according to him. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 4. So what the Holy Spirit is looking for, he's looking for us to walk according to the word of God. If you want to know how to live for God, live for Jesus, then we got to spend time in the word of God. That's the only way you're going to know how to live for him. See, coming to church on Sunday is good. Listening to the word of God is good. Somebody teaching Bible study is good. Somebody preaching on Sunday is good. But it's also good for you to study and to learn the word of God for yourself. You got to have some substance in you, because when you give your life to Christ, the first thing the devil want to do is he want to drive you out of here. And the devil will do anything to keep you from having a proper or a good relationship with Christ. When we don't know, when we do not live according to the principle of reality with grace in the details of our daily walk, grieving the Holy Spirit, for example, we want to go, let's say you want to go to a certain place. And this happens all the time. So I know it's happened to me before. You want to go somewhere, and you know for yourself as a Christian that it's probably not a good place to go. Not a good place to hang out. See, but this is going to be one of those things where it's going to dispel. When people always want to come up with reasons or causes to go places that they know that they shouldn't be by being a child of God. He didn't say that we cannot communicate with. He didn't say that we cannot deal with or we cannot be with other people. He's just saying that we cannot live like other people and we can't do the same thing that they do. So when we want to go to certain places, but when we think about going, we feel uneasy about it. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. When the Holy Spirit is indwelled in you, you got to understand that it's talking to you saying that I don't think that's a good place for you to go. And the reason why I'm saying that, because you know that there are some things that might go down, some things that you might see, some things that might happen, and you don't need to be there. When you think about David and Bathsheba, you got to think about this. David was watching Bathsheba. And when he was watching her, this is the reason why the devil entered into his mind in order to be with her. He knew that she was a married woman. She knew that her husband was fighting in the army. But he still did it anyway. But I'm sure the Holy Spirit was talking to David saying, no, you don't want to go that route. And so when we start thinking about doing stuff, the first thing we do, we start getting uneasy. And you know what happens when we get uneasy? The first thing we do, we start trying to come up with excuses why we need to go. I mean, we be talking to ourselves, well, I don't know. I think we ought to go. I think it's going to be all right. I'm a Christian. I can handle it. You know, and we do stuff like this. This feeling tells us that the Lord doesn't want us to go there. And so we as Christian people have to understand when you go to places that the Lord don't want you to go to, that's when you start grieving the Holy Spirit. And so when you start grieving the Holy Spirit that's in you, then you start telling the Lord that I'm not going to listen to whatever you say. So it's important for us to realize that we cannot grieve or we cannot grieve the Holy Spirit, because when we grieve the Holy Spirit, then that starts taking the joy that we have of our salvation away. We start seeing other things. We start seeing what people are doing. And then what we do is the devil start bringing things across your mind. What happens is you start missing what you used to do out there in the world. And you start thinking that the Christian life is boring. I don't want to go to church no more. Because what they do up in there is not what they're doing out here. But you got to realize that you have given your life to Christ. And because you have given your life to Christ, you cannot grieve the Holy Spirit and do these things, because it starts taking the joy that you have of your salvation. And that's what happened to David. That's the reason why David was telling the Lord that I need you to restore to me the joy of your salvation. I need that joy back because I'm a psalmist. I love to sing the songs of the Lord. I love to play music for you. I love to dance around for you. But now I don't have that desire no more. And that's the devil's goal. The devil's goal is to take that desire away from you. And see, we went through that during the pandemic. Think about it. People were having it easy. They was at home having worship service. Well, supposed to have worship service. I mean, come on, let's be honest now. We at home supposed to be having worship service, but we kind of watching the screen and we kind of watching the TV. we kind of cooking. We kind of talking to our kids in the background. We kind of doing everything but paying God some attention. So what happens is when you start getting comfortable with that, now it's like, well, I can kind of do this on Sunday or a little bit, kind of watch the screen, and I can just kind of go out and do what I want to do. And so then people start getting lazy. When they start getting lazy, they don't want to come back to the church house of the Lord no more. It's easy for me to stay at home and watch the screen and kind of like do this and do that at the same time and really not get no substance out of the Word of God. And so when you do that, your joy starts going out the window. And then you start saying, well, I don't have no desire to go back to the church. Because guess what? I can watch it on TV now. And when we do that, the joy that we have for the Lord start going out the window. And so we start doing stuff. We start going places. Because see, when we was in a pandemic, you got to think about it. Even right now, people was going everywhere else. But they wasn't coming to the church. They was afraid to come to the church because of COVID. And I understand. Some people had underlying conditions. Some people had things going on. I mean, that's just them. But some people who wouldn't come to church, I would see them at other places. See, I was blessed with a stay-at-home job, so I had to work the whole time frame during the pandemic. I did. So I had to go out. But people were still going out doing what they wanted to do. In fact, when I passed by Lowe's, I passed by Walmart, I passed by Target, the parking lot was full. I'm talking about, I would be here on Sunday morning with Pastor. I passed by Lowe's right out here in Bessemer. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the parking lot is full. But people afraid of COVID. But they was going out doing what they want to do. So when you start getting used to doing what you want to do, not paying God no attention, what happens is you start losing the joy of your salvation. And so God is saying that it's all right if you lose the joy of your salvation, but it can be restored. But the only way it can be restored is you have to want it to be restored. It's something that you have to want for yourself. Can't nobody force you. Can't nobody make you. It's something you have to want for yourself. And that's why when David was disheartened because of what Nathan the prophet told him, and he realized what he had done. He knew he had done this, but he didn't realize that this had affected his relationship with the Lord. That's why he want to be restored to the salvation of the Lord. And so we can do the same thing. So we got to understand that though we may try to reason that it's really okay, the uneasy feeling won't go away. The Lord Jesus simply doesn't want to go there, but says that instead of agreeing with the Lord and obeying him, we go anyway. By not walking according to him, we grieve him and make him unhappy. And it's impossible for us to be happy when he's grieved. So you got to realize the Spirit of the Lord lives in us. Once we give our life to Christ, we're always saved. The Spirit indwells us. When he's unhappy, it's hard for us to be happy as Christians. You might be happy doing other things, but we're talking about being happy as a Christian. And so David not only sinned, but he also grieved the Holy Spirit. And so he said in verse 10, he wanted the Lord, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. When you look at the word heart in verse 10, 51, it speaks of a person's inner being. And therefore, are often translated heart. To the Hebrews, the heart was the seat of the affections, will, and mind. One's emotions and understanding were centered in the heart. Therefore, to have a clean heart is to have pure thoughts and desires. So, in other words, what David is saying, I want to be cleaned up because I want to have pure thoughts and I want to have pure desires. And the reason why he wanted to have that is because of the fact that he knew that he had messed up with God. And so we can have the same thing. And like I said, we got to understand that, first of all, when we sin, we have to ask the Lord for forgiveness. God can forgive us of our sin. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to live better. Don't let the devil make a crank out of you. Don't live your whole life in church and doing everything up under the sun. We have to learn how to live according to the Word of God. And it's nobody else's responsibility but our responsibility. And so we have to do that. And so I can't base my relationship on the Lord off of my wife or my children or my mother and father. I have to base it off of the relationship that I have with the Lord for myself. So you have to understand that that's what God is looking for from us. And that's why David said what he said, that create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He wanted him to understand that. So in verse 16, he says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. Now, what happens is right here, we got to understand that David had came up and understood that, look, I messed up, and you're not really looking for from me burnt offerings, because God wants us to sacrifice. He wants us to sacrifice our time, our talent, our tithe. And you got to understand, they was doing a different type of sacrifice. They were doing burnt offerings. But sacrificing to God is not really important. What's most important to him is, the key term here is the verb desire, which means to find pleasure in. God's pleasure is not in the sacrificed animal, but in the restored person who demanded sacrifices even from David. But his pleasure is in the person who comes obediently to him. Actions not accompanied by a contrite heart are not acceptable to God. Contrite means a crushed heart. In other words, you are really sorrowful for what you have done. And that's what God wants. God wants us to really be, he wants to be sorrowful. He wants to come to him as children. He wants to come to him and ask for forgiveness. And that's what he wants. He wants his church to be cleaned up. And what I mean by that is he wants to have crushed spirits. He wants us to feel sorrowful for the things that we have done. He don't want to beat us across the head with it. He don't want us to hurt because of it. He wants us to understand that we as Christian people have the ability to continue to have the joy that we had from day one when we first gave our life to Christ. So don't think it's over with. You might mess up. You might not even do anything as detestable or as bad as David did. But little sin is still just as bad as doing anything great. Don't try to to put sin in categories, because people do that all the time. You got to think about it. People will talk about other folks, and I hear people do it all the time, and what they'll say is, well, so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. Well, you got to understand, we're all doing something. And you got to understand that even gossiping about people, that's a sin to the Lord. And so small stuff that we do is just as equal as doing something great as somebody else. Don't think because somebody killed somebody, somebody went to prison, or somebody committed adultery is a greater sin than what you have done. No, it's not. Everything is equal. So if we're going to have a great relationship with the Lord, if we're going to continue to follow him, then we got to understand that we have to be accountable for ourselves. And when we be accountable for ourselves, then we have to let the Lord know that we are sorrowful. He said that we are sorrowful and that we had a contrite spirit. And that's what God is looking for us. He wants to have a crushed heart when it comes to him, and come to him, you know, not prideful, but come to him sorrowful, wanting forgiveness from our Lord and Savior. And so that's the most important thing that we need to have. Don't let the devil use you to be prideful when it comes down to the Lord. Don't ever do that. It's important for us to realize that. It's important for us to understand that, because that's what the devil wants. He wants to go to the Lord prideful, like, well, you know, God, I messed up, but it wasn't as bad as sister so-and-so, or it wasn't as bad as brother so-and-so. No, he wants to come with a crushed heart and asking for forgiveness for ourselves. And that's what he's looking for. And so he's not worried about what nobody else done. What he's worried about is what we done. And so that's why it's important for us to realize that. And so when you look at Psalm 51, David was talking about that when we sin, that right there will help, will keep us out of fellowship with God. That right there will also lose the joy of our salvation when we grieve the Holy Spirit. But when you look at that right there, people often want to know, well, since we got to that point, how can we recover and maintain the joy of our salvation? First thing is that we have to confess our sins quickly and on a regular basis. Don't have to be reminded by God to confess your sins. That's what happened with David. He had to send Nathan the prophet to David because he was walking around prideful like he had done something. He had sent Uriah to war, put him on the front line so that the guy could be killed because he had to sleep with his wife and got her pregnant. And so you got to understand that this was the testimony to the Lord. But he had to send a prophet to him in order for him to ask for forgiveness and to repent. So in order to recover and maintain the joy of our salvation, we got to confess our sins quickly. Another thing is that we got to take in God's word as our spiritual food on a daily basis. So in other words, like I said, we got to read all the time. We got to read for ourselves. When you read, sometimes you might not really understand everything that you read, and I understand that. God had to give you understanding. But when you read the word of God for yourself, that's food for thought. You'll start having more godly things enter your mind than ungodly stuff. You won't have no desire to do the things that you used to do. You have desire to do things according to the word of God. How are you going to know how to live according to the word of God if you don't study the word of God? How are you going to know how to carry yourself as a Christian when you don't know what the word of God says? You have to know for yourself. Because the devil knows the word of God, and the devil twists things to make you think that you're living right and you're not living right. So that's why we have to take in God's word as our spiritual food daily. Then we have to speak to the Lord in prayer all the time. God is looking for us to pray to him on a regular basis. Christians ought to have a regular prayer life to the Lord. God ought to not be looking for you. You know how Pastor Walker used to say it all the time. Sometimes God allows stuff to happen in your life, And when something happened, then you start praying. And God said, oh, there you are. I've been looking for you. We don't want to get to that point in our life to where the Lord is looking for us. So we ought to speak to the Lord in prayer all the time. And that's what we need to do. And then we need to fellowship with other Christians on a regular basis. Fellowshipping with other Christians is not a bad thing. And we're talking about true Christians. Because sometimes people can paint themselves as a Christian, but they might not be one. You will know them by the fruits that they bear. When you be around a person for a long period of time, you might not know initially, but you will soon know something because they're not going to be able to fake forever. So you got to understand that we have to fellowship with other Christians on a regular basis. And that's what God wants to do. That's the reason why he says to fail not to assemble yourself together with other believers. We have to do that. Having church at home is good when you can't come to church. I mean, when you can't come. But we still don't need to fail to assemble ourselves with other believers. You won't get to know a lot of Christians if you don't assemble with them. You cannot worship by yourself all the time. You have to worship in the spirit of truth with the Lord, with your fellow saints. And so we as Christians have to do a little work for ourselves. And what we have to do is we got to be responsible for ourselves and realize that we have joy. We have joy for our salvation, but it relies solely on us. So don't point the finger at God. Don't point the finger at the church. Don't point the finger at other believers, and don't point the finger at the pastor. Point the finger at yourself. If you feel like you don't love the Lord no more, and you feel like that you have fallen on a spirit of laziness and you don't want to worship no more, that's a problem within yourself. That's something that you have to take up with the Lord, because it's something that you're doing in order to cause that feeling for yourself. Because when you get saved, you're going to want to worship God. You're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to have that desire to be there for the Lord. And that's just the way it is. And so what you got to realize is when we do that, God can use us for his service. That's why David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He says, and uphold me by your generous spirit. But in verse 13, the biggest thing that David wanted him to understand was he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We cannot teach transgressors. We cannot teach our children. We cannot teach ungodly people nothing when we don't have a relationship with the Lord ourselves. And that's why David said, I want to be restored to you in Psalm 51. He said, then I will teach transgressors your ways. So what happens is our lifestyle that we live, us being able to teach them the anointing that flows from the Lord, we can convert people. He says, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's the reason why a lot of churches are having problems right now, because they are missing the main ingredient, the Lord. If you don't have him, you can't do anything far as teaching transgressors or converting sinners. And so that's what God is looking for from us. And so that's important for us as Christian people. We have to maintain our relationship with him so that we can be an example to other people. Our children are dependent upon us. Our siblings are dependent upon us. Our neighbors, our co-workers, everybody's dependent upon us. And when you have the joy of the Lord, when you have it, when you have the joy of your salvation, people will see it in you. Everywhere you go, people will see it in you, and they will think, man, you just got such a glow about you. It's just something about you. When you just get in the midst of other saints, wherever you go, you will just click because of the joy that you have of your salvation. So don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil take it away from you. And don't let the devil do anything to convince you that God is pronouncing judgment on you. He's not doing anything. All God's looking for us is for us to repent of our sins and for us to live for him. So the next time that you go somewhere and the Lord or the Holy Spirit is telling you, I don't think that's a good place to go, don't argue with the Holy Spirit. He knows. And I'm convinced that a lot of times we get into stuff on our own because we don't listen to the Spirit of God. And when we listen to the Spirit of God, when we listen to him, God will show us the path and the direction that we need to go. Amen? Amen. Amen. May God bless you. And may God keep you. We want to continue to pray for our sick and our shut-in. We have a lot of people who are dependent on us. They need our prayers. Continue to pray for our pastor. Pray for our deacon ministry. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our members because they need our prayers. And continue to pray for our bereaved family. You know, people need consoling. Even after they bury their loved ones, sometimes they go through stuff for a long period of time. And what they need us as a church family to continue to pray for them. So God wants us as Christian people to continue to pray for them because they need our prayers. Sometimes people are not in a situation, or sometimes they go through so much that they're not sane enough to pray for themselves. And so God is depending on us to help pray for them, so that God can strengthen them. You know, we have people who are going through things in the church family. They got sicknesses. People got illnesses. And they need our prayers. And we ask that you continue to pray for them. And don't forget to pray for our pastor. Pray for his family. Because, like I said, the devil is busy in the church. Because he want to break the church up. Not just this church, but all churches. Anybody who stands for Jesus, the Lord, Jesus the Lord, the devil wants to get in there and he wants to break it up and want to divide and conquer. And so we as Christian people have to continue to pray for that, for the strength, so that we don't allow the devil to tear up congregations and churches because, you know, they're needful. They need to be there. Amen. We'll create our circle and then we'll end in prayer.